That podcast is filling your head with garbage. You should be in school.
Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show. Thank you for subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcast or streaming music. Thank you for following the show at Cape Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Here we are, continuing 2022, second episode of this new year. That's right. The year really started in April, as far as I'm concerned. And joining me, rejoining, I should say, the show, Christian Cortez.
What's up, man?
And making their 2022 debut on the show, welcome back, Cape Stalwarts, Ryan Taggart.
What's up? We're back. We're doing this again.
See, it is easy to hesitate to be like, what do I say?
What do I say?
You had a moment of just
I'm here. Shaking the cobwebs off.
You're here.
That's
you're
right.
Apparently black now.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole.
I've always been black.
Go to the.
Good for you.
Wow, that's debatable. Listen, go to the social media. And there's definitely a teaser clip up, which is, yeah. As usual, the pre-show was very, very long. And also making his 2022 debut on the show, welcome back, snob to the nth degree, Andrew Rizzitello. That's right. He's wearing those aren't glasses. Asshole. That's two monocles he's wearing.
Yeah, joined together.
He's that fancy.
Yes, quiet.
Yes, quiet. Yes, quiet. Yes, yes. Joy Killington. Yes,
Yes, quiet. And,
what's up, bitches?
Which is funny because you're only really a snob when it comes to your vices. Nothing else.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, just when it comes to cigars,
yes, absolutely.
Scotch.
Otherwise, he's like, I don't give a fuck.
The things that could kill me. That's what I'm snobby about.
Right.
I want to die in the way I want to die.
In fashion.
Yes. Yes.
I want to kill myself slowly.
Absolutely.
Consumption of
just
tobacco
one hit.
And alcohol.
Yep. Yep. The nails only get hit so hard, so soft.
Over several decades.
Yes.
Which is,
yes.
Andrew is actually
die
speaking.
Die like a fucking man, basically.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. Die like the Duke. Probably died.
No.
In a suit with a
maybe.
Glass of whiskey and a $700 watch.
That's right. Is that
okay.
A line from something?
I'll take it.
What?
Is that a line for something?
No.
Okay, that was good. That's how clever.
Like,
I thought somebody was
going to
die.
That's like a Quentin Tarantino line.
It did. I was like,
it?
Is that
no,
from...
it's an Andrew Rizzitello line.
Wait, what was it? Die in a suit
with a whiskey and a $700 watch?
Yeah, that's actually for real. That describes Andrew pretty well.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got to say
that. That's on the screenplay use.
It's going in my profile on one of my social medias now.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It does.
Yeah, because you're all TikTok famous and shit.
Yeah.
Because you think we give a shit?
Yeah, yes. I've heard you're TikTok famous now.
Yes.
Not that we care, but sure.
No, not at all.
But
not with this crowd.
Yeah, he's so famous, actually. We're lucky to have Andrew here at all because he's kind of like a cicada. He only comes out every couple of
days. He doesn't have time for us anymore.
Was making a TikTok like while we were doing our stupid pre-show.
He is.
And why not?
And I guarantee you it was, show's been trying to stop for 20 minutes with that stupid automatic voice and shit.
Oh, I hate. That's what makes.
He's actually a 17-year-old girl named Alyssa.
Yeah.
TikTok famous.
Andrew,
this is not actually Andrew right here.
This guy puts so much energy into TikTok.
This is the astral projection of someone else.
Yeah. Andrew hasn't been.
It's like
this is
Freaky Friday kind of stuff.
Ugh.
Like there's a really angry like eighth grade girl walking through the halls right now. It's like it's not my body. This isn't my body, damn it. Dude's coming up to you.
Yes.
Got
this
him.
This is how we know we succeed in the show.
I would pay so much money to see Freaky
Friday. We're just minutes in and Christian's going to die tonight.
Andrew Rizzitello in fucking Friday.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of that episode of Futurama where they all body swap.
Oh my God, that's one of my favorite episodes.
And Amy ended up with Bender's brain.
Yeah, and Bender's in Amy's body.
Yeah.
So and Amy is basically walking around like a dude smoking cigars. Yeah.
And
sitting like open-legged. not ladylike at all.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh my God.
That's right. Guess who's back, motherfuckers? All of us.
Oh, fuck.
You all right?
I was actually crying.
He's not going to make it through tonight.
No.
He missed us so much. Christian really did. Like, he was very, like, I'm so happy you're back. Like, we had a very a very nice pre-show.
Us too.
We went to dinner and everything before the show.
It was a good time.
It was a good time. Yeah. And I and Zapsek having some heart-to-hearts. It was nice. Over tacos, no less. Anyway, I don't want to brag. That's not why we're here.
It's called the Chris Abalo podcast.
Yeah, like, I mean, there is humble brag my ass.
There's an egotism involved, I'll admit. But
you're just a big fucking softy.
I am. But... Oh my God!
Despite all your bluster,
I can totally derail the show based on that, but I won't. We're going to talk about that in the future. Yeah. But so
I believe the audience needs an explanation.
No,
they have to subscribe and keep fucking tuning in every Monday.
No, they need an explanation as to why it took you so fucking long to get back on the podcast.
Agreed. So that was something that I got a lot of feedback, like the day. The first episode went up when Cape 97 went up. Just like you kind of just went into it and went about your business. There really wasn't any kind of explanation. Like, what's going on? Do you want to tell us what's going on?
Where did you go, motherfucker?
That's it. Like, people wanted to know, like, okay, Sabbath. What happened?
All right. What three people wanted to know what happened?
Oh, I'm just mean. Well, your mother, for one. All right.
Find a lot of feedback. He means.
And I'll just end that recording.
And see you next week, everybody. K-Pod on social media.
By a lot of feedback, he means two people asked.
Aww.
No, but really,
his mom and his dad.
Was there people
his
that mom were, and his like, dad. Vocal? Like,
no, I did get a couple of messages. I didn't get fan messages. I did get messages from a couple of friends, though, who were just like, oh, you kind of just went back into it. You didn't really explain. And I was like, oh, well, that's just kind of what we do. But it's fair enough. You know, you take 4.5 months off. I understand people wanting some kind of like explanation because it hasn't happened since the show came back in 2020. So I understand that.
At least you came back. I'm calling you out. Respect the blackout.
Ooh.
Uh-oh. Wow.
They haven't been back in months. I missed them.
But
so
they haven't
much.
Done the show. They haven't done
them.
The show, period, though. Like,
yeah,
that's
no,
it.
They,
like,
they
that's. Well, that's what happens. See, a lot of people get very. There's a lot of pressure on, to use the blanket overused term, there's a lot of pressure on content creators when it comes to constantly having to produce. And it is one of those things where you kind of feel like you get so caught up in it. You're like, oh, I can't stop. The audience is going to disappear and forget about me because there's so much stuff going on. And I understand that fear because I very much like to be – I mean, and they'll tell you from, you know, the old show we used to do. Like, I like being consistent and being able to say, like, no, we do this every week. Or if we're not doing it every week, let's at least have some kind of plan for when we're going to do it because – the audience wants to know. Like, people who are following you do want to know, like, what's going on.
But it's also, and this is just, let me ask. It's like, you've revealed how you actually do these episodes, right? Like how they're done on the production side of things?
In as much as what? Like, I mean, I'm fine with talking about it. I don't know what you're referring to.
Like, in terms of, like, you pre-record them.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well,
everybody knows that they're pre-recorded episodes. But, like, you do it in the smart way, where it's like you will pre-tape them and then edit them and put them out over time, so it's not like an overkill on the mic.
It's not live all the time.
Yeah, no, because I feel like, yeah, live is dope. I've seen it work, but like that's a different type of commitment.
Yes.
Like the Twitch streamers and like people that do it that way where it's like every week it's
people
like,
need
oh,
to
tune
log on
in.
And be there despite what's going on in their
Which
lives.
Which is a cool thing to do. It's there is success there.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. But like the time commitment to that.
And the mental exhaustion.
Yeah.
Especially in the beginning. Like, at a certain point, you are sharing every aspect of your life.
Yes.
Especially when you're that big. But I think that you do it very smart, where it's in terms of you pre-record it, you get a day or a couple of days or weeks off that it's like, okay, this works out.
Right. And it's also...
Because you're also not topical.
Not usually, although we're going to get a little timely in this episode. But I will say that is one of the things that that was kind of my perspective going in when we started doing The Only Podcast That Matters, which is also available everywhere you get your podcast. Was my thought was, well, if it's once a week, that's not really overkill. I mean, I think they're pretty much like maybe there were probably podcasts circa 2010 that were doing 2 episodes a week and that's it. But nobody was doing like 5 days a week or, you know, several episodes a week, really. But I said, well, if it's an hour a week, that's kind of like a show. Like, I likened it to any kind of TV show or anything like that, where I said, OK, that's enough. It's not a huge commitment for an audience. It's fresh enough that like we're not getting tired of it. And that's kind of the same approach I have now where it's like, oh, it's an hour a week. And that's kind of enough. I mean, in as much as it's also an independent production, too. So, you know, since it's mostly me doing everything, you know, once the shows are completed and recorded, then it takes enough of a time commitment, which is why, like, after doing so many episodes, I said, I think I need a break. And I was saying in the fall, I said to these guys, I'm like, I think I'm going to take a break. I might take off the month of January, was kind of how it started. If anything, I actually cut 2021 short by a week. It was going to go for 1 week longer. But then I thought, no, you know what? Not only am I feeling a little burnt, but at least I could get the best of shows out. Like the it's going to be two
there's
volumes.
Still content that you could put out regardless.
Well, it was also like with December and with the holidays and everything. That's a time when everyone takes a break. But I said if I can just put out those the second and third Mondays in December, put out volume one, volume two of the best of, because I knew I want to do two volumes because of the sides of the show, the group shows and the interviews and crossovers. I said, mm-hmm. you know what, this is going to work. Let me just do two best ofs, and I can get them out by Christmas. And excuse me, it's allergy season, so there's a lot of I apologize.
Like, I was like, you're gonna start crying?
No, not yeah, I'm getting very choked up thinking about taking time off. And I was just like, this is a big mistake. I don't want to take any more time off. But I was just kind of ready for a break, and I was like, I'm gonna take the month off. Now here's the thing that changed that, because November went by like that. November lasted about 4 seconds. And I said, if I take January off, like it's not gonna be enough. I'm gonna feel like I took no time off, and what will have been the point? And not a lot happens in January and February anyway, especially here on the East Coast, because the weather sucks so hard that everyone's just kind of inside anyway.
Yeah,
pretty. And I was like,
January is depressing as fuck here.
Exactly.
Sad is a real thing.
Yeah, seasonal affective disorder is a real thing.
It's when we get the worst fucking movies. Nothing is new. How is it that a new year starts so fucking miserable?
I don't want to get out of bed.
It's like a baby waking up with colic. It's like, what the fuck?
Don't want to go outside for anything.
Everybody also had Omicron anyway. So there's that. So,
that's a good point.
You know, there wasn't anything going on. People were at home.
Let me rephrase. It's not a good point.
No.
It's a point.
But it was very much a real thing here. Like I know a handful of people who didn't have it, but literally a handful. So it was like, well, there wasn't a whole lot going on. There wasn't a lot to be missed. And I just didn't want to go back to kind of doing Zoom shows because, you know, partly because of the pandemic, another part because of the weather. I think it was 14 shows in a row at the beginning of 2021 were on Zoom, which is fine. Wow. But Zoom fatigue is a real thing. And I said, I may as well just take a break, get back to the studio properly, and get back into the rhythm, which we're clearly in already. We've been going for a little while, even though the show itself probably started, I don't know how many minutes ago. But I said, okay, let me take a break. So I'll probably come back at the end of February because it seems like a good enough time. Then time just kind of keeps going. I'm like, I think it's going to be mid-March. I think it's going to be end of March. And then what happened was there was a family trip to Italy that was planned. It did not come together, but it was actually supposed to happen. I believe it was April 21st was going to be the date we're going to go. It was going to be for 2 weeks. So in my head, I said, all right, well, I don't want to bring the show back in May because that seems really late. But if I bring the show back April 11th, I'll bank a couple of shows between the last week of March and the first 2 weeks of April. Mm-hmm. And let me just get shows done so that way for the 2 weeks I'm gone, I'll have the video episodes, the audio will be ready to go and scheduled. The video clips, I'll have time to cut them and schedule them. I can hand the social media off to somebody. Because I don't know what that's – I mean, aside from being a different time zone and just not being able to keep track, I said, okay, I'll give it to somebody who will be able to then post everything and handle it. Well, the trip ended up falling apart, so I said, okay, well, rather than – let me just wait a week. But then April 18th was tax day and the day after Easter. And I'm like, okay, anything about the show happening is going to get buried under anything Easter-oriented or people worrying about taxes and all that other shit, because that is like a stressful week for people who like didn't get it together.
Yeah,
people's minds are on other things. They're traveling, spring break. Yeah. There's all kind of shit going
on.
We're
all like, did we just screw over the government? Are we going to jail?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people know exactly what you owe. Yeah. A lot of people on the run who don't have a smartphone so they can stream the show, and they're just like, huh. So they don't want to risk – they're not going to listen to this show and risk going to jail. I mean, it'd be pretty awesome, actually. If you did, then please tweet us.
That'd be crazy. Hey, I was listening to your show and then I got arrested. Please bail me out.
I got turned over. They tracked me, my smartphone, because they were just like, it pinged off this tower in Memphis and we fucking got him. It was aboard like a freight train that was heading cross country like an old-timey movie. And he was just like, we found them, son of a bitch. We caught him in Phoenix.
I was trying to take one last ride before I went inside.
Yeah, and I was...
And you fuckers caught me.
Yeah.
Eat shit and die.
I appreciate the laughs. I love Comic Book Men. Those guys are really funny on your show. that's commitment. If you went to jail for Cape, that's some commitment. But anyway, I said, okay, well, that's not going to be a good... The 18th isn't going to be a good time. I was like, it's just going to be the 25th. So that's kind of what happened. The show was going to come back 2 weeks earlier with the Italy trip, and I was just going to like really work and make sure everything was done. But then I was like, okay, rather than cram, well, that's it. It's like I'm taking a break. And again, there is that pressure. Like my friend Sean, who's been on the show a couple of times, who has a YouTube channel, Stompbox Saturday. And he took a break for a little while because he's cranking out YouTube videos. And they're elaborate videos where he's reviewing guitar gear. And he was just like, guys, I got to take a break for a while. I even see with people on TikTok. There's a few people I follow just like, guys, I'm taking a TikTok break for a bit. I'll be back. Love you all. You know, please stick around. And, you know, when I'm back, you'll know I'm back.
But here's the thing, though. There's a way to finesse your scheduling that I think it only pertains when you get a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious if it could work for smaller creators. But I think I've seen it work for maybe Respect the Blackout a couple of times because they used to take little longer breaks between their live shows mm-hmm. and stuff.
Right.
But there's a YouTuber that I follow, JonTron.
Man.
What a great name.
Yeah, he puts out some great videos. But this motherfucker.
He's sporadic as hell.
He drops a video maybe once every 9 months.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
He used to be regular. Like.
Yeah. But here's the weirdest thing. Used to be regular. Now does 2-3 videos a year. And each one will get millions still because it leaves them wanting more.
Yeah.
And it's the craziest thing because I'm like, so there is a way to do it.
The fireworks video.
Oh my
where God. He sang fireworks.
Not even that. Friggin' my favorite is where he talks about Flex Tape.
Oh my God, yes.
He reviews the actuality and like how you can actually use Flex Tape. And it's super funny the way he does it because then.
Well, that's what took so long. For 6 months, the guy was playing with Flex Tape.
Because then it just spirals out of control to the point that Phil Swift himself ends up coming into the show.
Yeah.
And it's fucking great.
That's good.
Look at everything you could do with this tape.
But that's a rarity, though. Like, that somebody, like, people will actually be waiting until something comes out.
People got so invested in him and his bird, his Jacques. That when the bird passed away, they were like, holy shit.
Jacques's still alive.
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he passed.
Jacques's still here.
Yeah?
No, birds live forever.
Oh. They actually do live.
That's right. Temporary birds live forever.
In case you thought.
Well, birds aren't real. They just need to go back to the government to get their batteries recharged.
Right. Yes, Andrew's information is still wrong. That hasn't gotten any better during the time off.
What are you going to say?
I thought he was dead. Oh, very much alive.
People have short attention spans, so like. They're going to be back for you, theoretically, but they have plenty of other shit to watch and fill their time with.
Also, then we should do 5-minute podcasts at a time. Hey,
yeah.
All right, guys, that's all the time we have on CAPE. We'll see you for the next 5
Everyone's
minutes.
Everyone's like, squirrel.
Yeah. But that's also why I said when I come back, I want to be able to do it weekly, which was the idea. I'm like, okay, now everything, like the decks are cleared. I have a bunch of things lined up. I have guests. I will say that I'm not formally announcing anything, but did hear from a lot of people
married.
Who were on the show. Are we? Shit, that's news to me.
I am ordained.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Do you want to do this right now?
I paid like
no. Fuck no.
Do you, Jack, take Chris Abalo to be
Jack.
Along?
Wow.
I'm so sorry. I'm not wearing my glasses.
Are you okay?
Do you, Ryan?
What an asshole.
Do you, Ryan, take Chris Abalo to be your lovely wedded husband?
Not now.
Oh, come on. Why
you
not?
You ruined it.
Dude.
He wants
why
a
not?
Refund.
Yeah, cost me $5. I want a refund. Fake certificate online. I'm ordained, motherfucker.
What, from the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
You better practice.
Probably. Listen. Good to know.
Can't be saying people's names wrong.
Yeah. He's certified for mixing up people.
You know what? I think I'm done for the day.
Do Jack and I look alike?
I mean, you're practically
honestly,
the same
dude,
person.
To be honest with you,
I mean,
we're interchangeable.
It's literally that blurry right now to me that it is bad. Like
so it's not a white people thing.
No.
That we all look the same.
Maybe a little bit, but
wow.
Oh, listen.
Oh my God. Okay,
wait a minute. I'm not on that. I'm not even kidding you. I'm at a distance right now. Like, if I didn't know Abalo was sitting to the right, yeah,
you don't know who.
Yeah, it's that bad.
It's just a bunch of saltines.
Well, because here's the thing. You both have similar shirt designs that, like, my vision is that fucking bad.
But Andrew has a fucking goatee. Like even that you can't tell?
Nope.
Wow.
That's how blind I am. Like, well, from here, it gets... Oh, there's the goatee.
Yeah.
But from here...
Incidentally, go to GoFundMe.com/CapePod where we're raising money to have Christian get new glasses because they broke again, which we didn't actually talk about on the last episode. But we were going, yes, the whole arm is missing again.
Well, I noticed that they were broken. I just figured they were still broken.
New style.
No, but here's the okay. We didn't get into it.
Hover glasses.
We didn't get into it last week. We may have teased it, but he broke them in the stupidest way possible. He fell asleep with them on, and he just rolled over and fucking broke.
I feel like plenty of people probably do that though.
Yeah. It's a stupid way to break your glasses though. I mean, let's be real. It's like,
is it? I feel like out of all the ways, that's the most common.
Listen, it's common. It doesn't mean it's on them.
You just want a wild story.
It's dumb.
See, I think to me, stupid is like
mixing up white people.
Let's run over my glasses and see if they break. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's stupid.
I mean,
yeah, I mean, falling asleep with your glasses is common, and it's he just wants a wild story.
I mean, I would have made something up, sure.
Yeah,
if it were me, and I was showed up here with
he got punched in the face,
broken
by
again.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It's like I got
make
a
up
fight.
Some dumb podcast
with,
bullshit
with a wildebeest, and
just
it
you
did
know
not
what?
Go well.
Just make up the story, and I'll just nod my head and just be like, "Yep, that's exactly what happened."
All right, go tune in it. Next week.
Yeah,
we'll talk about what really happened to Christian's glasses.
Yeah, but sorry about that, though. I actually genuinely feel like
no,
I did
wow.
not
it's
mean
fine.
To do that.
It's fine.
No, it's not.
You had a long day, and you know.
You know what's funny about that? And I swear, I did not, like, I have a couple of notes in front of me. I did not write this down, but this happened to me on the way here. I stopped to get something to eat, and I popped into a store next to where I had dinner just to browse around for a couple of minutes because traffic sucked. Yeah. And it's Jersey, and it's also quite a stretch for me to drive down here, and there's always crashes on the parkway. Anyway.
People don't know how to drive. Anyway.
If they ever did, they definitely forgot how. But I'm in a store, and a guy comes up to me, Latino gentleman, and I'm saying that just because you would open the door and, like, mixing up white people. He comes up to me, and he was like, you almost broke your glasses again. That huge crash you heard were the fucking glasses again falling to the floor.
That time it was me testing it. Anyway.
Yeah, right. It's like, are these frames as durable? Oh, shit, there goes the other side. Anyway, guy comes up to me and literally, like, whips his head around like, oh, from the back because of my hair. He thought I was Joaquin Phoenix. I'm not kidding. It's like, wow. Oh, shit, I know. And I was just like, wait. And I guess all white people look alike. I mean, I got there was a little window of time. I guess it's while I was still in my 30s, all of 6 months ago.
Oh, my God.
But for a little while, since the long hair, I've gotten Brendan Fraser since I was like 19.
Really?
Just everybody. Yeah, just the dark hair and the blue eyes and I don't know. I've gotten that one a lot. And
I don't see that one.
All right. Well, you don't see anything. That's the problem. Your fucking glasses are broken. You can't even tell Andrew and I apart, much less how much I look like Brendan Fraser. But anyway.
You know what? I'll give you that one.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, I don't see it. I don't see anything, but I don't see that. I can't see shit.
Womp womp.
But I've gotten that one. So I did feel like it was a punch in my ego to say I look more like Joaquin Phoenix. I'm like, oh shit, I guess I'm getting old. No, he was really just like, oh man, Joker's my favorite movie. Like, he's my favorite actor. So I was all excited, like, what's he doing in Jersey? And I'm like, this isn't helping. Like, I don't feel any better because filming, of your explanation.
He's filming Joker 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that
exactly
gonna happen?
And he's come. Yes, it is actually.
Is it?
Apparently. He didn't want to do it, but I guess something happened. You know, everyone's got
Warner Brothers offered him that sweet, sweet Discovery cash.
I mean, everybody's got
here's
the price.
$30 million. Still don't want to do it?
Right. Well, so that was interesting.
That's funny.
I wasn't trying to make it a thing like all white people look alike. Like, he literally thought, like, from the back, just looking at my hair, it's just like, oh shit, Joaquin Phoenix. I'm like, that's a weird leap to make. Like, if I saw a dude with long hair, I wouldn't immediately jump to a celebrity without seeing his face. I mean, if I saw a blonde one, I'd be like, oh shit, Taylor Swift. You know, like, it's just
oh,
a weird.
Oh shit, Margot Robbie!
Right? Yeah, it's like, that's a leggy blonde. It's got to be Taylor Swift, right? Oh, it's not.
That's weird.
It was really, really weird. And I didn't even think about that till just now.
Have you ever had an accidental celebrity encounter? Like, where you didn't realize you ran into somebody until much after the fact?
Has no.
That ever happened?
I recognize people. I mean, I went during my years in Los Angeles. I saw people all the time, and I was aware of it. Like, I never had an interaction with somebody later. They were just like, you know who that is?
I had a very weird experience when I lived. Well, not weird. It was actually just very funny. I lived in New York for like 2 years for film school.
Mm.
And I used to go to this place called Insomniac Cookies. Have you ever?
Oh, yeah.
In New York, that place is fucking amazing.
Dude, they got them in Hoboken and Jersey City.
They
too.
Do?
They're everywhere. Yeah.
Why'd you tell me that?
Because I'll bring them here if
oh,
I know you're a fan.
Oh, my God. I fucking love Insomniac. Anyway.
Wow. He got any more high pitched than normal.
Oh, my God. I fucking
these cookies must be something.
Dude, I used to I used to get out of class, go to West 4th, hang out around that area, go to Mamoon's, mm-hmm. hang out at the park for like an hour or two, and then maybe get like two cookies and Insomniac dip.
Two cookies?
Well, yeah.
I wish I had your discipline.
Yeah, that's the thing. How big are these cookies? I also had to...
Because it's Insomniac cookies, so they're open till like 2 a.m. So it's like...
Hence the name?
Yes, but it's like it's made with me in mind. I was like, sweets, and I could get them super late.
Didn't they also deliver? Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have to, right? It's 2022. They have
to. No, I meant like their business model when it started. I thought that was part of the Insomniac thing. It's like they delivered to you at fucking asinine hours in the morning.
Yeah, but I was in college, so I couldn't afford that shit.
Well,
yeah. Especially from West 4th. Where I, especially from where I lived to fucking Harlem. Yeah, no, that wasn't happening. but no, it was, this night I had a box. And I was walking and eating them. I was having a great old time. And then I was like, you know what? I think I'm done. And there was this bald gentleman that was, I thought he was a fucking bodyguard at one of the places. And I was like, hey, man, you want the rest of these? And he was like, oh, thank you. Like, obviously, he gave me, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And he took them. And I was like, you have a great night. And he was like, you too. And then I keep walking. Everything's fine. And then someone like runs up to me and like grabs my shoulder and was like, you know, you just gave cookies, right? I was like, bald guy at the door of the bar. No, that was RuPaul.
Oh shit!
Oh shit! Really?
I didn't even know it was him. And just
how can you not?
I mean,
that's one of the most recognizable faces to me, anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about RuPaul up until that point. Like. It never really.
He is younger. He is younger than us. I'll give him that. So
yeah, but RuPaul's like has been around longer than he has.
Yeah, well,
I'm saying like in the pop culture.
That's very true. But like, didn't seek out that stuff. I just didn't know him by face immediately.
Wow.
So like, I had just given him to him, and I just kept walking, and then someone was like, "Dude, you just
gave cookies to RuPaul."
I was like, "Okay."
It's like, I need to tell him.
And I was like,
"Right."
Dope. I don't. He probably does not remember. But
did
I
you know who
hilarious.
RuPaul was at the time?
I kind of did.
Did you have to Google it?
No, I didn't.
You pulled out your BlackBerry and you're like, "Let me see." Yeah.
Listen, it wasn't that long ago.
I don't know.
No, fucking RuPaul though.
Well,
that's awesome.
But that was like one of the only
I haven't,
times
I haven't seen RuPaul, but I got a fortune from RuPaul at the Museum of Sex, and that was pretty cool.
You got a fortune from RuPaul?
Yes. I mean, not personally.
Oh.
It was a machine, like Zoltan from Big.
I was like, wait a second.
That sounded way cooler. It's like, you were at the Museum of Sex with RuPaul? That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, if that's an Omaze auction, I'm in.
Like,
what
the fuck? Please. I'll hang out. I will go to Insomniac Cookies with RuPaul. All right, just tell me where and when. I'll buy the cookies, goddammit.
Yes.
Funny.
That is funny.
But yeah, no, that was my like accidental
nice
encounter. But that was it. That was the only one that I can remember.
That's
funny. But it was just a really funny encounter because the dude was like, "Do you know who that was?" I was like,
"You're like, nope,
no idea,
no idea."
And but that's the like, best kind.
And then he was like, "RuPaul, I guess it was because I didn't know who he was that he was so receptive, maybe, but." I don't know.
In my mind, yes.
I'm not going to think too deeply into it.
Yeah.
In my mind, I agree with you. It's one of those things where, like, I don't know who you are. I'm just acting out of, you know, kindness of my heart type thing.
Celebrities probably are okay with that. That you're not like, oh, my God, RuPaul.
There is one other story.
That's so uncomfortable. I've seen it happen, and I also couldn't imagine being on the receiving end. Have somebody see you and, like, freak out. That's got to be insanely uncomfortable.
Oh, my God. This is... Per your point, great fucking story.
All right.
So, again, time living in New York, I was on the subway, and I had just seen one of the MCU movies. So it was just fresh in my mind.
They were chasing a shiny rock in space, so it was one of 23 movies. I don't know which one.
It was either Winter Soldier or something along those lines, but something that had Bucky Barnes.
Okay.
Now, I'm on the subway, and...
You just gave away the story.
Yeah, I'm on the story. And this guy walks onto the subway. He's got the cap on. But, like, there's a group of, like, fangirls on the other side of the subway. Mm-hmm. And then I look at the guy in the head. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's Sebastian Stan. But I don't say anything because it is a crowded subway. Mm. And there are fangirls at the very end of the car.
Yeah.
And I eye those first. And he knows I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just look over to him. We're making eye contact. And I go...
That's it.
A little nod.
That's it.
And he goes,
You know what's funny?
Get off at the next stop.
You know what's funny about that? I had a silent exchange like that with Steve Rogers.
No shit.
At a sushi joint in Studio City. I was there picking up a Postmates order at the time. And he was there. I guess he was waiting for somebody, which I'm like, who the fuck is keeping Chris Evans waiting? Number one. I was almost indignant over that. I'm just like, I don't give a shit about this person in the hills I'm delivering sushi to. Like, who's leaving this guy waiting? Who leaves Captain America waiting? And just had a moment, and I was gonna throw out a reference, just be like, Jake Weiler, right? Because that was his character in Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah.
Just as like a nod to just like, yeah, I know who you are, but I'm not gonna fucking embarrass you or anything like that. Like, I realize you just want to have some dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't do that. But we're just both standing there waiting, you know, like he's pretty much like standing like kind of where the camera is from me, you know, 6 feet from me. And it was just a kind of exchange, just like, you know, two dudes in a place, but it's just like you don't make a big scene because really, again, I've seen that happen when I've been at places.
Because
really
you play out the scenario because, like, sometimes when you see a celebrity, like, primitive mind takes over where you're just like, oh my God, like, I love you. And then you're like, oh, wait a minute. They're just a person.
That happened my first week in LA in 2006. I was at The Grove in, like, The Gap or some shit because I just moved there. So I was willing to go into a store like The Gap. Actually, I worked at a different Gap for a little while, but that's another story for another day. But someone I was with was buying something and we were waiting in line and this girl all of a sudden shrieks, oh my God, oh my God, is talking to this other person in line. I'm like, what's going on? It's like, I don't know. And then somebody else in the line recognized who the girl's freaking out over. And it's somebody who was on The Real World like 9 years before.
See,
and nobody knew, but I just saw that and I'm like, wow, that's really random and really uncomfortable.
I also think that there's like a difference in reaction when it comes to like actors and actresses versus reality stars. With reality stars, I feel worse for because they share their lives in a way that it's like people think it's okay.
Mm. Right, because they're themselves on whatever show.
I mean, a version of themselves.
Well, to an extent.
A version.
And because of that, people who watch have this perception that they're best friends.
Yeah, like they know you.
And it's fucking weird, right. But like, I get it, but that's It's some weird. It's the same kind of thing that just happened recently to Keke Palmer. She was out.
I heard about this.
And people were filming her, like a fan was, and she was like, "Hey, can you not?" And the fan was like, "No, I'm gonna keep doing it." And she just felt really like invasive.
Well, what happened? I mean, per what I got from her, because she tweeted about it, and it was making the rounds.
Oh, she
obviously.
Did.
She did, and she said this girl asked 4 times for her picture, and she politely said no every time. And then the girl started filming her from a distance anyway. And she just said, like, you know, no means no. We're not just talking about, you know, sex.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like be respectful to people, which is one of those things where just like, you know, we're all on camera all the time. And that part does suck. Like, I'm not crazy about that part of the era that we live in. And it's like, yeah, like just leave people alone. Like, you don't need to film them. Like, I've gotten snaps of people here and there when I've seen them out and about. But, you know, not really. Like, I'm not spying on anybody just to be like, I'm going to get some followers for this. Like, who feels compelled to, like, I'm going to shoot a video and share this? Like, you know, I bumped into – Viggo Mortensen was leaving Arclight Cinemas in Hollywood once, and he stopped to sign a few things for people. I guess he was there. It was right around the time Green Room came out.
Great movie.
And Green Room. Excuse me. Green Book. Green Room is a horror movie. Green Book. And
looks okay.
Wow. Oh, see, his opinion changed once I got it right. And he was signing autographs for people. I was just like, oh, Viggo Mortensen's right here. So I just grabbed a picture. But not like spying on somebody. Like, that to me is just –
it's
just
so
fucking
weird.
And the idea people think that's okay is not encouraging.
Andrew,
you know?
Are you getting adjusted for fame once your TikTok hits 1 million followers and shit?
Once your brand grows into the stratosphere.
Yes.
And Cape is dwarfed by your presence on TikTok.
Just don't forget us when you're TikTok famous.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Whatever that brings.
Remember where you came from.
Right. Yes.
I'm going to turn that into a pop song. Don't forget us when you're TikTok famous.
Like, oh, my God.
Do it.
Let's record that.
Do
dude,
it.
That's, yeah. That could take off. Like, remember
absolutely.
That dude after the VP debate? You've got a fly on you.
Yeah.
It could be on par with that.
Me and you still got to work on this Sandman track.
We do. That was fucking great. Oh, if you missed it, by the way, I forgot. I got to plug that because we did that since the last show. Live from the Secret Stash, which is not available as a podcast yet.
Yes, we're working on that.
It's going to be. But if you go to the Shared Universe YouTube channel or Facebook or Jan Sobob's Secret Stash Facebook, I was on – with 420, because we made a lot of 420 jokes, obviously, with Mike and Christian doing the show. They were good enough to invite me on, and they talked comic books. And there was a good, like, 10-15 minute period where basically the show turned into Cape, which was kind of fun.
Oh, it did.
Like, I like that this show has enough of a personality that we kind of slipped into that rhythm, and then we just came out of it again, and you guys got to do your show you do it when I don't interfere.
No, but we
that was fun.
It worked. It was a lot of fun. You did really, really well.
Thank you.
And it was
it got a really good response. I was actually very impressed.
People were like, oh, this dude's cool.
I got friend requests from people and shit. Like, it was actually, like, pretty cool.
For me. I need to adjust to it, but, like, that's, like, it's one thing for me to, like, add people that I've worked with, like, you guys I'm cool with on Facebook and all that stuff. But, like, it's very odd when it's, like, no connections. But then it's, like, maybe the one or two that are, it's like Ming, Mike, or anybody that I'm friends with in View Askew. I have to get used to this now. This
is
weird.
It is a little weird. I mean, we kind of touched on that in the last episode.
And it's not like a thing where it's like, I'm not appreciative. I like
that. That's when you start a
fan page.
Like a fan page or something.
I mean, for me, I don't care about it. Like, I did start accepting. This is kind of the postscript to what I was talking about on the last episode about that, about, like, people from my past coming, you know, like, sending me Facebook requests, and I assume it's because of doing the show, because I haven't seen them since high school, which is a long time ago, and we didn't hang out in high school, so it's not like we have catching up to do. And I assume it's because of the show, or because I'm doing this show with a cool show with cool people who they've seen on TV, or, you know, or listen to their music or whatever. So I assume it's because of that. But I do just accept basically anybody's requests, because my Facebook is basically my Instagram, because I only share stuff that I post to Instagram. I don't really – I'm never compelled to just, like, I'm going to share this on Facebook, which, again, we talked about in the last episode, so I'm not going to do another lap around that.
Again, the only reason I end up using that motherfucker anyway is because of promotion. It's one of the best tools to, like, let at least your friends know.
Yeah. I mean, certainly your friends' parents will know.
No. Well, my
given the Facebook audience these days.
Well, my generation – was in the middle where it's like we still most definitely use it, but there's also a bunch of us that just
it's aren't. Mostly for your parents though.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't think so?
No, well, I mean,
I feel like 20 somethings are just like, my parents use Facebook. Like, it's kind of the old.
Not that, it gets that's not 20 somethings. It's definitely much younger, like teens.
Oh yeah,
teens, like kids younger than me will not use Facebook. It is it is the old people platform.
Oh, it is
right
now. Yeah,
right.
It is most definitely now. But
even now,
it's like for that generation, it's Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat. Yeah,
totally.
It's basically things that can disappear in 24 hours, so they don't get in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is stupid, because it doesn't actually, nothing disappears.
Attention span.
Yeah, no.
And that's pretty the
much.
Other
but then,
part.
Yeah, and the same thing with Facebook. Like, even now, like, both of my parents are on Facebook and they're 70, and it's super embarrassing.
It's weird when the old people share memes.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
Like, my dad, like, barely knows how to turn on a computer. He just got on Facebook, and I'm like, please, God, no. No.
I keep getting recommended.
My mom, like, why did you let this happen?
Like, she had some sort of.
I keep getting recommended to follow your dad on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. My dad's on Twitter, too.
My dad is on Facebook.
Wow.
My dad.
Your father
is on
has
Facebook.
Finally joined the Borg Collective.
Do you know why? So, because of Facebook Marketplace.
That no shit. Sick. Selling or buying?
Both.
Really?
Yes.
That's what does he buy on Facebook Marketplace? I have to know.
He's become a hoarder.
Fuck my notes. I'm not. We're not going over anything. No. This show has taken a turn
Facebook
again.
Marketplace is great though because.
Oh no, I'm not.
Markets. If you put something up, people.
It could be gone real quick.
It's gone and sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I put stuff up on Facebook Marketplace up in North Jersey, and it takes forever, or everybody's trying
really?
To negotiate with me. Yeah, I've had zero luck.
Oh, no, down here, it's pretty quick.
I'm gonna hand my shit off to you guys.
Honestly,
like, can I leave this here?
I think it works more in like, rural areas.
Yeah.
I don't think it really works that well in, like, city settings.
It's more, where I live is more urban. It's not a city. Yeah. North Jersey's much more urban than
the
shore.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to, like, kids shit, like, where groups, like.
Yeah.
Clothes or old toys or things like that.
The play sets.
Like that. These groups I'm
we know what you're buying.
On. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
No, for
Thundercats
real.
Figures. Yes.
Yes.
Listen, do you know I have alerts for Ghostbusters? Things.
Of course you do.
So I'm like, I'm always trying to see, like,
yeah,
hey,
you're a raging fucking nerd too.
I like where your head's at.
Dude, come on.
That's not a criticism.
I know it's not. I'm trying to find a goddamn Spirit Halloween trap, okay? It's fucking difficult to find.
Really?
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
I
bought up all of them.
Really?
They, you know that scene at the end where all the traps go off?
Yeah.
That, those were all Spirit Halloween ones.
And were they really?
Yeah, and apparently they've been out of stock for months is because the movie used like hundreds of them.
That's Ryan's hard on hitting the table, everybody. Yeah.
I have that trap and it's awesome.
I know it is. But I finally have the full.
And I have Ryan's address
back.
If you want it.
So. Oh, sorry. I may or may not be planning.
Ah, shit.
I'll rent it out to you. You need
it. Oceans 3.
Can we Christian wrote an excellent. I wish it could be made, but it can't because
what?
Intellectual property. Your screenplay for what would basically be like an R-rated Ghostbusters short film.
Oh, I'm.
It's
doing,
like a horror.
I would love an R-rated Ghostbusters.
You read it? Right?
It's good. Yeah. I did. You sent it to me.
Oh yeah.
And nice. I read it, and I forgot I had it. It was saved to my phone forever, and I finally read it in like February. I was like, this is fucking great. It really is. But I want to play the ghost. He's basically like a horror villain. Like it's a scary ass like ghost that's terrorizing these people, which is what I liked about it. Because it's like it has a horror vibe to it. It's very much connected to the Ghostbusters, but I like that there's a supernatural and scary element to it because we love Ghostbusters, but it's more cartoonish. The ghosts are cartoonish.
Yeah.
The only non-spoiler alert, the only non-cartoonish ghost we finally got was the ghost of Egon. So, I mean, it's – otherwise, they look like Slimer and, yeah, you know, right. Bootleg Slimer from Ghostbusters Afterlife, whatever his name is, Muncher.
Muncher.
But what most people don't realize is that world – lays the groundwork to be fucking horrifying.
Yes.
Because it really is, if you think about it. Like, even though Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is played for laughs, in a weird, twisted way, that's a terrifying thing.
That's a terrifying prospect.
It's a golem.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's a golem.
It's a fucking horrifying thing to witness. So, in my mind, I'm like, listen, I don't need Ghostbusters 4. However, I would like to see other people tackle that world and see, like...
I mean, look at the Keymaster and everything. That's possession.
Yeah.
They play it off comedy-wise,
like,
but that's demonic possession.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
James Wan did a fucking Ghostbusters horror movie.
I hope so. I mean, I loved Afterlife, but it was very
Junji Ito writing a Ghostbusters fucking... screenplay.
I mean, we've been saying this for years, that we would love a universe where different people play... new characters in cities across the world and open it up to like this whole universe.
I mean, that was the idea.
That's what mine is.
Yeah.
But it's called Ghostbusters Down or Ghostbuster Down.
Ghostbuster Down, yeah.
Mm. And it's basically what happens when the Ghostbuster is the most dangerous person in the room. Because you realize that equipment is not only dangerous, but these motherfuckers come across the worst of demonic humanity on a daily basis.
Right.
Yeah. And how it plays out is... Pretty great.
I'll send you the outline.
Send me the outline. Yeah.
Here's the problem, though. We wrote an outline for what was supposed to be a short film, but then we wrote the outline, and my outlines for my features are about 12 to 15 pages long. This was 15. So I was like, uh-oh. I don't want to lose these elements.
At minimum, it's at least like a short film that is a pitch for...
Do you know how I would love the opportunity to be like, hey, Jason, come on.
Listen.
let's talk.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that happen. One of my like screenwriting heroes and how he got his journey is a guy named Brian Lynch. Brian Lynch started in the Jersey crowd. He started by working in Kevin Smith movies. Mm. And the motherfucker wrote a fan Muppet script and the Hensons bought it. Mm. And that launched his career. I was like, if that could happen for that group of characters, can it happen with Ghostbusters?
Well, I'll say this. Well,
look at what happened with Mortal Kombat.
What happened with Mortal Kombat?
Well, the whole short series.
Get ready for a lot of misinformation.
Yeah. The whole short series that happened on YouTube.
Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Legacy.
Wait, that wasn't an official thing?
It started as a fan film with those people cast.
Yeah.
I showed it to them. I was just like, I'm going to play this thing for you. And we had to watch it on Andrew's computer because it was before YouTube was on TVs. And I was like, I'm going to play this thing for you. Do you guys remember this? Well, I was just like, don't say a word.
No, yeah, yeah.
I was like, wait, don't even react until the end.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm going to play this for
you. Who played Jax? Who played? Because I'll fuck his
Black
name.
Dynamite. I mean, I'm blanking his name, but you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly.
Oh, my God. I'm so mad.
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh my God, how do I not remember? He's one of the funniest people in the world, and I can't remember.
He's fucking hilarious, but he was
so
perfect
mad at myself.
As Jax.
Yes, he was. Yeah, please, because it's just going to bother the shit out of me.
Michael Jai White.
Michael Jai White. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was Jax in the there was like what, like two teasers, and then it became a full on.
Yeah, they did like a 9-minute. Yeah, they did a 9-minute thing, and then the series, which was way worse than the actual short that they used to pitch it.
Yeah.
It was just like low rent graphics and everything, which is, you can't really half ass something like Mortal Kombat, and you know, video games don't have a rich history of translating into film.
No.
Well,
only just recently we start to bridge into that fucking thing.
Yeah, like, Sonic, and I enjoyed the Mortal Kombat movie that came out last year. I thought that was exactly what I expected.
That was.
So it did not disappoint. It's not an amazing movie, but I'm like, that's kind of what I expected.
But to transition from a video game, yeah.
Totally. Resident Evil was pretty good.
I love all of them. They're my favorite slow motion movies in the history of cinema because they're really like 45 minutes long if you just played them at normal speed. But there's so much goddamn slow motion. I'm serious. It's actually only three movies if you played them, you know, probably. But there's so much.
That's horrible.
He's not wrong.
But you're not wrong.
He's not wrong.
Anyway, I'll say this as far as what you're saying, because I've said this. I mean, goddamn, they must be sick of me saying it over the last 12 years. But I'm like, you never know who's watching. You never know who's listening. I'll tell you guys about it off mic. But this is one of those things where I'm glad you're even putting this idea out there, because I was told by an acquaintance of mine who I was talking to in the last few days with regard to Cape coming back. I was told, keep it up. And I'll tell you why that makes sense later. And I'm not trying to throw it out vague so like everybody knows, but I don't want people to like get the wrong idea that I'm putting something out there like, oh, something's happening, because nothing's definitely happening. But the idea this person is watching and keeping an eye on the show and telling me to keep it up is like, okay, message received. So
big deal.
You'll understand when I tell you why. I'm only not saying on the show, I'm not trying to be super private or anything. I mean, I do have a complex about
just
putting things out there. Yeah, but like it is something where it's like, I didn't know this person was paying attention. I know this person had any
– well, then
as much as I know them like through another person, I did not know that they were even aware that I did a show.
So then before we broach the next topic, I'll ask you guys this then, and I'll get each your opinions.
Sure.
Should I try and do this short like – I was thinking of crowdfunding it, or at least trying to do something kind of low budget, maybe $4,000 or $5,000, because I can manage that and pay a decent group of people to make that concept happen.
Yes.
Or
shit, I'll be an actor.
Or
want me to?
Or well, I call dibs. Go the real channels and see if it's a possibility to like even bring it to the table, or all the above. Do a short that kind of highlights the idea. And then kind of drive around it. I don't know. Because, like, part of me, I just want to do it so bad.
One at a time. One at a time. Okay. Call on us one at a time to give an answer. Because otherwise, it's getting really muddy. Starting with me?
Yeah. Let's go.
I think enough people have been – I know a lot of people have been burned by crowdfunding where things have not been fulfilled. So they're not as crazy about putting in for film. That's not to say it doesn't happen. And I'm only speaking for people I know personally. So yeah, I know people are reluctant to do it. But I'm a fan of Chris Stuckman, and his crowdfunding crossed $1 million, and he was only going for $200,000. But he has such a strong following, and this thing went – I mean, to go five times over your goal is like pretty crazy. So but now he's making this independent film.
But here's the thing with Chris Stuckman, though, and this will count into your point.
Okay.
His is an original property.
This is true. That's true. That is a thing.
But here's the thing, though. I've seen crowdfunded fan films. I've seen them go very successfully, and they do the film. Mm-hmm. No money is made from the product itself. People just get paid on set, because that's not intrusion of copyright.
True. But there's also the part where I feel like you kind of – with crowdfunding, you're kind of beholden to people. Like if I'd chosen a crowdfund, I wrote a bunch of shorts and a bunch of things that I was going to collaborate with people on during my time out in Los Angeles. And I didn't do it just because I couldn't afford to pay people, because I hate asking people to work for free. I don't want to film things and have people just be like, it's great. Because as a voice actor, I've gotten a lot of that. Oh, it's great exposure. Well, I'm very good at exposing myself. Trust me. So I don't need your help with exposure at all. The idea of just like, oh, do it to put yourself out there. Like, I'm putting myself out there. I don't need your help with that. Like, for something – like, no one's heard of you either. So it's not like you're doing me any good.
Yeah.
So it's just a bunch of nobodies putting together a project that'll never see the light of day. But I had the ability to pay people, I would have gotten more stuff done. So I never want to go to crowdfunding for that reason, and also knew a couple of people who were questionable. Like, there was literally a girl – and again, this informs my perspective. But there was somebody who was putting together – I'm going to keep it vague – because I know people who know people involved. But there was a project that was being crowdfunded, and It was a campaign done by all the people involved. And the message was like, you know, remember, we can't do this without you. Without your support, we can't make this happen. And literally the main person involved, while the campaign was going on, took a vacation to Hawaii and took a vacation to New York within a month while this campaign was going on. I'm like, you got money for some two big vacations, pricey vacations like that. And you're asking people to fund your creative project. Like, that shit just rubs me wrong when people do that. And there's a part of me, admittedly, I'm too proud to crowdfund because I could do this. I mean, Patreon is different because people are getting something for their money on a regular basis. So that's different. So I feel like I have mixed feelings about crowdfunding. And I've supported a few things where I haven't ended up getting what I expected to get or even what was promised for the tier that I supported.
But that's also the thing is I also want to consider doing basic tiers where it's not like – $1,000 and it's this list of near impossible things. Right. It's basic things because I think that that's the more lighthearted way to go about it in a sense where it's like it makes everybody feel equally important because they are.
Right.
Like regardless of if you're donating $1,000 or $20, that money still is money. It'll go towards the production to make it bigger, badder, better.
For sure.
So regardless, anyway, sorry. So
that's my – I feel like doing it independently or finding the money some other way is a good idea because then you also aren't beholden to anybody. Mm-hmm. Because if the idea is turned into something bigger, then the crowdfund audiences people feel entitled to something more or like, oh, I supported this thing and blah, blah, blah. Because we've seen how everybody – social media has turned everybody into entitled customers. Like I paid for this and I deserve this. It's like it kind of gets out of control. So for me, I would be reluctant to do it that way. I would be more keen to just find like if I was in your position for this, I would ask somebody or several people for money based on a budget of just like this is what I'm trying to do. If it gets turned into something like here are my terms for paying you back, but I'm just trying to get this thing off the ground. But that's just me.
What about you, Andrew? Because I know that you brought up the Mortal Kombat series, so you kind of knew.
So in my mind, I would go with your third option. Where you create a short film, YouTube types thing, you know, maybe an 11-minute type film or something like that. Less than a half hour. Definitely less than a half hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, short film uses 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
So
even if you just get your friends to do it and film it without some kind of crowdfunding or anything like that, just to get the idea out there. And then you can use that on top of your screen, you know, your actual written thing, like, hey, this is a really rough idea of what I had going on. This is my writing. Do you think this, you know, do you think you could broaden this, you know, fine tune it, make this into an hour and a half long, whatever film,
like proof of concept,
exactly, yeah,
kind of like shooting a proof.
That would be my thing. Plus, and my thought process is just like what I said with the Mortal Kombat thing, is that if you bring it to YouTube or whatever, Vimeo or whatever. People will latch on to that, and then if you wanted to go the crowdfunding route, you have a proof of concept. You have something that says, we're going to make this better, and then you can, you know, set your tiers up or whatever, however you wanted to put it forward and say, you know, oh, you can be an executive producer if you give $500, whatever it is, you know.
Those type of things.
Yeah, exactly. But I think starting –
You think somehow all the – you think all the above works?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
All right, Jack. Ryan.
Asshole.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm the asshole who mixes people up.
It's okay, we're good.
I'm not. I'm fucking
It's in the Cape lexicon now.
I know.
Yeah, so is noon to 12, if anyone wants to tune in.
Call me Jack.
Live from the Secret Stash.
Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan.
I just brought Christian back. Yeah. I said that was going to bleed into Cape, and it will.
It's a great fucking bit, though.
Noon to 12 is going to be a thing.
Mike to make bumper stickers out of it.
I really think it needs to be a thing.
But
we'll explain after the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead, Jack Ryan.
Yes, so, Jack Ryan.
Yeah, so I think that either way, whatever you decide, you need to get this idea out there. Obviously, you're no slouch when it comes to creativity. You know, you have sort of different hats that you wear and different things that you create, and you have a fan base. So
that's
with something like that, if you were going to go to, you know, crowdfunding for something just starting out like this, you're not asking for a lot of money.
No.
So, I mean, you're not asking for $200,000 or $500,000 or a million to the point
Fuck
where.
No.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I've
if you're asking
those
for
campaigns,
you know,
I've
$5,000.
Laughed because I'm know for a fact they're going to burn.
Yeah, I mean, like, if that helps you get this out there, and that's the way you can get the money to do it, and then, you know, by all means, if this is like this goes out there and people are like, you have something here, turn it into something bigger, then continue going that route.
Which is going to be your reaction once you read this thing? I know.
Yeah,
because you're going to be like, holy shit! Like, I know.
So, as far as your creativity, you. I love your thoughts.
Yeah, yes. Read it. It's only it's a breezy read, and you're just going to be like, wow, there's a lot in here.
Yeah,
like it's easily a feature length, but I feel like as a short. Just to show it off,
you got
to
feel get it bad out of enough
because I still have our space opera hidden away.
I actually want to talk to you about that because I have all the notes from that.
There was a time
2015.
So 2015.
Yes, I have a memory for certain. My rearview mirror is generally bad.
Another friend named Frank who is an artist, like a graphic artist, and he came out with a manga actually that was in stores.
Really good artist, super creative guy, and built his own. Like he built his own. I'm plugging him, but then he built his own like Iron Man, like you know, like the hand with the beam, or whatever it is.
Yeah,
no, not the gauntlet, just like the regular hand from like the
just
Iron Man
blaster
suit with the blast that lights up and everything.
He's
very technologically. Aside from being a great artist, like the dude's just
so
way creative.
Chris and I went to him and asked him, you know, would you be the artist? And Chris and I were going to do a storyboard thing, and this is back when the only podcast was what we were doing, not Cape.
We were wrapping up the only podcast, basically. Yeah. We're like, let's work on this next.
Yeah.
And in 2015. We just turned it into a space opera where, you know, the four of us, myself, Ryan, Jack, Chris, were the main characters of this just – I keep using the term space opera. We went around. We had, you know
– this epic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, like, I have
– I'm not singing like, opera.
You're not singing opera.
Yeah. No, it's
– That's the weirdest general thing with the term of that.
Yeah,
space opera. When people hear space opera, they think breaking glasses with
– No, not at all. They think
but
more
that's
like
–
But, like, I have what, 10 storylines written down, I think I shared with you.
I mean, 8 to 10 I have saved. It has its own folder.
Yeah, because I have a character synopsis.
Is there a name? Because the folder is just called XYZ because we didn't have a name for it.
I literally just called it Untitled Space Opera. That's all I called it.
That's what you should call it.
That is good.
Yeah.
Either that or
just leave it that way.
Yeah.
That's how I named one of my things. For the longest time, this one idea that I was working on was called Working Title. And I was like, wait a minute. That actually fits.
Because you know, Star Chris Trek for dumb people doesn't work.
Yeah.
Even though that's what it is.
I'll admit, like, I took heavy space. Yeah, I took heavy inspiration more from the Star Trek universe, the newer films.
Yeah, the next generation was more. It was. I felt more of that. Which you grew up because your dad was a fan of that. Which again plays into the can't believe he's on Facebook and you know playing Candy Crush.
Yeah,
it all plays into that. It's like this is a guy who lectured us about Judgment Day and Skynet. You know,
but yeah,
you remember that. Yeah.
But like I have all this stuff. The first episode was we were on some planet that was ruled by giant ant creatures.
Oh, so it's very much like that classic.
Oh, yeah,
no, it wasn't ants. It was a bunch of like middle-aged women trying to clean the expired stuff out of your fridge.
Aunts. I didn't pronounce that right.
No, not really. I'll tell you. You know what got in the way of this project?
They're all named Karen.
Right. Whole planet of Karens. Holy shit, that's a great.
That's a movie.
This
right
is gonna
there.
Get it out. We just got the 11th storyline.
Planet.
You know
of
what?
Karen.
Honestly, you know what? You know what got in the way of the? You okay over there?
No,
you were
he's
like,
not.
You were.
No, dude. Like, Karen invasion is such a good fucking idea.
No, Karen's from space.
Karen's from space.
I mean, think about it.
Can you imagine if it was?
I need to see your manager. You mean leader? No.
Yeah, take me to your manager.
Can you take me to your leader?
Okay.
No, manager.
I just want to say haircut. Yes.
Can you imagine if it was done like the world's end?
Oh, dude. Wait a minute. Is this Cape's version of Tusk?
Did we just come up with a horror movie?
Dude,
Kevin, where are we going? Come on.
Sci-fi horror movie. Yeah, we're going to shoot this and put it in the Smodcastle Film Festival.
Yeah.
Copyright Cape, because that is a fucking movie.
You know what? Actually, the reason Untitled Space Opera didn't come to pass was actually because of Cape, because Andrew laid out these storylines. He wanted me to write dialogue because I talk a lot. And
yes,
basically, I was so busy. Well, that's what you put. You're like, can you like flesh this out? And I was like, absolutely. Yeah. Meanwhile, my dumbass is doing Cape Live on a weekly basis, and all my energy was going into that. And I just didn't write as much as I expected to, because I was putting so much into doing
that's right.
Tape 2.0 at that point.
Yeah, I wrote the background.
I was the one, I honestly was the one who
you wrote
didn't
the story, you wrote the screenplay.
Mm-hmm. He wrote the outline, basically, and yeah.
That's what I think is going
to
end up
happening. And it's good. Like, it was a good thing, but I was just like, I didn't have the time to do it.
But hey, I'm worth revisiting. Anything that you guys come up with, because
I'm so glad
since the top. Like,
dude, I know you're a fan. You're a booster.
No, genuinely. Like, I really like the, like, even from the top, I've always loved the dynamic you four have. So it's like, I want to see more. Like, I want you guys to do sketches and shit like this. This is why I was happy when this motherfucker was doing TikTok. Because I was like, can you imagine
He was.
Because I was like, can you imagine if all of you did that together, dumb skits?
I can. In fact, there was a meeting at Eatontown Chili's in 2015 where I basically suggested we should do that. And I'm not going to say who, but
also,
there were other people at the table who weren't me who were just like, I don't know, kind of sounds like work. And I'm like, what are we doing with our lives?
Nah, honestly,
the last 2 years have passed, but that's not doing shit.
Do you want to know the truth, though? I don't want it to sound like I'm actually knocking what you're doing on TikTok, because to be honest with you, I think it's fucking cool. Like, part of me is like, he's actually putting in the work to do these really funny things that catch me off
guard. And this is the fucking guy who
searching through TikTok.
Literally, last year.
Please?
Watch my NPC Risk stuff.
I don't know what that
means. That's a fun game. It was a very – all right. So none of our stuff is getting – you just throw your notes out.
That time we were doing a show and we talk about anything that's on your list?
Yeah.
No.
So there's a creator on TikTok who goes by the handle Forever NPC. Do you know
what – I don't know what NPC is.
Non-playable character.
Okay.
So it's the guy –
who GTA?
Yeah.
It's the characters you just can't play.
Right.
With.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, the guys who give you quests.
I don't know.
I've never heard that phrase, though.
Yeah, I don't know what internet lingo.
Yeah. So
how many people think this is a comic book show because it's called Cape? I don't know. What the fuck is going on?
So he and a bunch
I'm not joking. Yeah. That's why they're like, that's why he's on with Christian and Mike. That's why he's at the Secret
it's
Stash.
A comic book show.
Yeah. Show doesn't have shit to do with comics.
So he and a couple other creators came up with this game through TikTok, where it was heroes versus villains, and then there was a neutral party, and they made a map that looked like the world, but a little bit warped, and it was like Risk, where you would take over territories and things like that. The neutral parties could add points, and the heroes could either advance, or the heroes or villains, whoever's turn it was, would either advance or defend territories. The way to protect or advance on a territory was to create duet chains. Now, you've seen duets on TikTok, right, where you see a bunch of people next to each. So you want to actually create this giant chain of individuals, and that adds extra points to whether you're attacking or defending and whether you can take over a territory. This lasted for at least a month.
Dude, we got another show to do. I'm worn out just listening to this. I mean, we're doing two tonight.
Either way.
This is a lot. This sounds like a – no, so I'm not making a joke. This sounds very elaborate to me.
It was
but
fun
I'm an idiot,
and
I barely used TikTok.
Created a completely different persona and everything, and I was a neutral party, and we just had fun with it. It was just something stupid to do on TikTok.
No, I get the idea. I'm just like, this sounds like a lot, but I guess explaining it is so much more elaborate than actually doing it.
It's kind of like and this is just from how I, in terms of like starting things, I just recently started playing D&D. And the learning curve for that is steep. But when you get into it, you're like, oh, okay. This
it's very sense. Much inspired by that.
Yeah. So
a lot of the creators are.
It gets there. It gets you going.
Gotcha.
So I basically became a super nerd. I don't know if I'm proud of it yet.
Oh, well, we got
a super nerd.
No, he leveled up.
He leveled up.
I leveled up.
He's going for nerd supreme.
Well, think about it.
There's always room. The Muppets are nothing. Trust me. All right. There's a lot more.
That's beginners.
There's so many more levels.
You know how someone sold me on D&D when they were like, you can play as a Muppet.
Oh, absolutely.
If you want to.
Yeah,
and I'm listening.
Like, I can play what?
Oh, yeah.
I can.
You can build your character around Elmo or whomever.
I can basically be Kermit the Frog. I can be Fozzie if I want.
Ralph.
Chaotic
Ralph.
I could be chaotic Ralph.
Yep.
That likes to blow shit up. I can combine Muppets.
With a piano.
With a piano.
You'd be a bard. You'd be an attacking bard.
I was sold. Yep. And then someone was like, let's do it. So I have a friend who's playing a one-shot, and I might have a character that is literally a Muppet. I'm so sorry. Anyway, welcome to Cape People, where we get off topic. I'm so sorry. Well, wait, topics though. It's like,
and now we have a whole list of.
So do you want to touch on anything that was actually on that list, Chris?
No, it's too late.
I'll throw it right back to you.
No, yeah. This was just a bit.
That actually not a piece of paper with your notes on it?
No, it's actually just a blank piece of paper I fished out of my pants. I literally discreetly peeled it off my pants and just went, well, this is, yeah. That was a bit. Sorry. There's nothing.
No, it's okay. I had no idea. I felt very bad.
Pick my shit up now. You wanted to derail the show.
Wow.
Again. Oh, I'm just kidding.
That's it.
Andrew threw it. We all look alike. It was Andrew. Anyway,
I wasn't looking. Who went? It wasn't me. No,
it was actually Ryan. He told you he was black, and he just
wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
Oh my god! I fucking love this show.
Don't you? This show's great. No, who doesn't? You know, let's wrap this show up. We were doing a second show, which was going to go in the bank, but these are clearly going up consecutive weeks because we got our momentum going. But see, it's easy, right? Once we get going, it's just like, all right, we're doing two. That's why it was a good idea. That's why you and I talked about it. It's just like, we have so much. Like, let's do two tonight. Like, it's a late night.
Question. Do you want to just keep going and then just do like a part?
No, no, no. We will take like a break just for a couple minutes to get some air. It's fucking hot in the studio. So we will get some fresh air and then just come back up and start over again. And we actually will hit this list of things I want to talk about because there is some timely stuff to be talked about. But so to kind of come back to where we came in, where the show started. This is like a loose concept album. Basically, yeah. So I'm happy that Cape is where it's at, especially in light of last year, because last year was I did a post on my personal Instagram kind of celebrating like the year that was 2021 with a music video style montage with a mashup
year.
Of dialogue. Thanks, man. And yeah, because last year the show grew exponentially and fulfilled a lot of the promise that I had for it and went even above and beyond that. And I was just really happy with everything we did and everything that we did as a group, the contributions of the four guys, which I know I'm basically verbally sucking you guys off every episode, but it's the truth. Like the four of you from a shared universe have given us so much that we didn't expect. And I said it on last week's show. It's like you guys were the pieces that we didn't know we were missing.
This is a dream.
As much as myself, Ryan, Andrew, Jack have been doing this since 2010, you guys have literally like this has leveled up because of you guys, because we didn't know we needed, you know, we had other friends who would come in and out of the show. The old show, but you guys have just brought this up to another level where it's just like, oh, now it's like on.
We've come a long way from sitting on Andrew's apartment floor to the show.
Exactly. With karaoke microphones because that's just, we didn't know how to do shit in 2010.
You should do technology just like that for old time's sake.
You know what's funny? Ryan's mother said this a couple of months ago. Yeah. She was like, I wish you guys come back to that because the run for most of 2012 and I think the tail end of 2011 we did at Ryan's parents' house, the basement, which is a finished basement. And that's where we would be. I told the story last week about us trying ghost pepper sauce at like 1 a.m. or something like that. Because we used to go to the Walmart in Lacey because it was 24 hours. So we do a show at like, I don't know, we finally start at 10, 11 o'clock. And at 1 a.m., let's get snacks. So we'd go get a bunch of snacks because Walmart was open. And we'd eat like pigs. And that's when we started all gaining weight. Because that's when it started to stick. Let's put it that way. Who knew? Eating junky food at all hours in the morning doesn't promote weight loss.
Yeah, 2012 was bad.
2012 was really bad. We all got fatter and the wheels started coming off the show, but that's something else that we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But anyway, his mother actually said, like, you guys should come over and do that again. Like, she never heard the show, like, never paid attention, but I think there was a comfort.
She heard.
Well, she heard, like,
she got comfortable.
From upstairs. In as much as sound travels.
Right.
But just the idea, like, that we would gather in the basement and just do this. She was like, you guys should do that again. I'm like, we should just for the fuck of it.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, we have an outlet for it now. Like, I'll obviously release it. Although we should set up a cam or something just to have.
Yeah.
But it's
always open.
It is. I know. So we might do that just for shits and gigs because I'll just take my home studio and transport it there.
I'll still join you for that one. I'll roll.
Done.
Yeah.
I'll be.
Dude,
like,
you're in.
You're invited. Like,
yo, you guys are in as long as you want, and that really is the flattering thing about the show because a lot of people who were on the show last year. I think I started saying this before and didn't get to it. Shock of shocks. But basically, everybody who was on the show last year as guests and everything, they all want to come back. They're like, anytime, just let me know. Like, I'm in, and that's why even having yourself,
be surprised, man.
But I'm
you
still.
You guys put on a great show.
But I'm flattered by it because it says a lot. Like there was a whole, and we've again, this is something else we've touched on in bits and pieces. But I realize there are new listeners. A lot of people checked out the show during the extended break. So if you haven't caught up on every episode, then just for a little bit of context, it's one of the things where, you know, when we started doing the old show in 2010 and 11 and 12, those first three calendar years in particular, it was, you know, we didn't have metrics. We didn't know if there was an audience. We didn't know who was listening. And I don't think I'm saying anything out of school by saying, like, Ryan and Andrew in particular kind of felt like, is anybody even listening? Like, they kind of wanted the reinforcement that we're not just jerking off. And I understand that. Like, I just wanted to do it because it was fun. I just wanted to get together and bullshit with my friends. And I just said, like, this is fun. Like, we got a good thing going. We have a rhythm. Like, like you said, the four of us have this dynamic. And it's just there. And it's rooted in our friendship. It's not something we're not a boy band where somebody put us together.
Exactly. You know? It is so rooted in just because you guys know each other and very, very well. Mm. But it's so funny because that's the type of thing that people will come into a podcast and try to create in 5 episodes. When I'm like, God, yeah. Dude, this takes time.
Yeah.
Like, you got to commit to this. But if you put in the effort, you not only will make – you'll have a great time fucking doing it. You will make memories for the rest of your fucking life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have things that, like – will be the funniest thing to show your kids when they get older.
Yeah.
Because I bet there's some things that you don't want them to find out on their own when
probably.
They get older. You're going to be like, Dad, what's this one episode of Cape?
What did Uncle Chris mean when he was saying, fuck you, I'm not gay, in that really low-pitched voice that sounds like Daddy? What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. But he knows.
He knows.
He's bored, though, because now he's on his phone. Now it's time to wrap up the show. No, but it is one of those things where, like, not knowing, like, are we just doing this for us? Is this kind of just for fun? And for me, that's kind of where I was. I'm like, well, we got a good thing going. Let's just keep doing it. And didn't know at the time. It's only something that, you know, now it's been almost 12 years since we started doing it. It's like that the first few years of, you know, the only podcast that matters, it really is a time capsule, because if it was ever going to happen at that point in our lives, that was the time when it could have happened. And it did, thankfully. Because now we can go back. It's just like Andrew was married, but this is, pre-kid. You hadn't even gotten together with your now wife at the point we started that. Jack hadn't, was 3 years out from meeting his now wife. So it was a whole like era that at least is documented in some form, because we were having conversations about what was really going on. It wasn't just about our personal lives, but just the world at large. I mean, talking about Occupy Wall Street, you know, like, yeah. Why does everybody love Lil Wayne, you know, and shit like that. Like, that's stuff that now.
What'd you just say?
Deutsche Bag Cast.
That was, yeah. Remember I had alluded to, like, Jack kind of just wouldn't say anything. I compared him to wallpaper because he was just kind of in the room, but he didn't say shit. We were like 11 episodes deep, and I think it was the 12th one called Deutsche Bag Cast, where Jack had this exchange with this girl who he was kind of dating, kind of not, who drunkenly texted him and instead of douchebag called him Deutsche Bag, and it just became a thing. Like, that's up there with like Durf and shit like that.
Oh my
like
God.
That's in the pantheon where it was
Deutsche Bag.
So, Deutsche Bag Cast is episode 12 of the only podcast that matters. If you want to go back and hear people at the end, us from 12 years ago, all of us in our 20s, talking about this
and
shit,
this
it's really funny.
Jack came out of his shell.
Oh, absolutely.
Show.
Yeah, he
and
really
she
did.
She goes, "I find you somewhat attractive," and he goes, "I find you somewhat drunk."
Yeah, like Jack, like this is the first time Jack. You
it
can laugh out
awesome.
Loud, dude.
It was
go
awesome.
Ahead. This is the first time.
No, like, what a fucking great response.
Yeah, Jack just snapped it off. Dude, he was this, like, I find you somewhat drunk.
This is where that part of Jack kind of came to the surface.
Frankly,
like, it
my
really
dear,
did.
I don't give a fuck.
I'll never forget this, that exchange. Yeah.
That was a huge moment of growth for Jack, where like he had this outlet and he fucking ran with it for all it was worth for that episode. Like, that was where Jack really started to kind of come into his own. Because before that, he was kind of, I'm not saying meek is an insult, but that's probably the best way to describe him. He was just kind of like, you know, like, I'm here. Yeah, and that's kind of it. Like, he wouldn't say much. At least he was shy about being on mic. But at that point, it was just like, oh, it's on, you know.
Yeah, he threw down for that episode.
He did.
He's like,
kind of
hi, my name is Jack,
started.
And I got some shit to talk about.
Yes, right out of the gate. It's really, really funny. And there's a couple episodes
please,
I would like to go back
please
and
please send me a
to.
Link to that.
Oh, episode. Dude, I will. Because it's
I need to listen.
It's gold. And again, we're 12 episodes in at that point. But all this is here already.
Yeah.
Because we've been doing it on a weekly basis since 2008. So 2 years before we finished it. The original concept was like, let's make a movie.
It's your Muppet Show.
And dude, I'm Kermit. I'm telling you. Like, I really have gathered all these people from all over the place. You don't even
to
know.
To sing and dance and make people happy.
Millions of people happy. That really is my thing. Like, when you watch the Muppet movie, you'll be like, holy shit. I'm telling you, we're watching the Muppet movie in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm coming
him
over
for the
for
first
that
time.
One.
Yeah, you're totally coming over for that. Like, and they want you there. But you know what it's like to show people a movie for the first time and be able to watch them
it's
react to it.
It's great.
It's going to be great. I mean, you and I are going to be fucking crying on the love seat. Just
not,
like,
nah, I'm
just me?
Probably just you. I'm going to try not
I'm
to cry.
I'm
going to try not to cry.
I'm not. It's my fucking house. I'll do what I want.
Well, and if you're going to cry, then I'm going to cry.
All right.
You know, because I'm a
and then Jack's going to cry because Jack's a fucking sad
and then everybody's going to cry.
It'll be great. Then we'll tell nobody.
But then it's okay because then Grey Muppet Caper will just make you laugh until you're
oh, my God.
Okay.
And it's one of those things where just like when I tell you like when I look at the Muppets, I'm like, see, this is the kind of shit I expected us to be doing. You'll be like, I get it. This is why you kept being a fucking asshole and pushing us to keep doing shit because just like, oh, you were thinking we were going to go in this direction. Got it. But anyway, it is super flattering that you, I mean, you were so excited. Like when I told you like, hey man, I want you to be in the first show back. You were like, I'm so fucking in. Like you were way excited to be part of it. And Ming came back from Michigan and Mike literally moved plans around to make themselves available for Cape 197 for the first show back, which really like I still don't know how to handle that. And look, I didn't watch Comic Book Man when it was airing. I've gone back and watched it since coming to the studio because I'm like, these guys are my friends. I want to see what they were up to. But just the idea that these guys are like making time for this is still like there's a part of me. I literally have talked about this in therapy. Just like I can't get my head around this because there's so many things since I was 16 and started playing music, like so much shit I tried to throw at the wall and get it to stick. That the fact that something's actually happening and that I'm getting this reinforcement, I almost don't know how to handle it. And that's something that I'm actually trying to figure out, like, how do I do this in a way that's like, I mean, it's not that I'm not appreciative because I'm talking about it right now, but just the idea of just like, this doesn't feel earned. I kind of don't know
imposter
why it's
syndrome.
Happening. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
It's a real fucking thing. It dude, is. I still feel that sometimes, especially when I look at where I'm at now, because I tell myself, if I was able to go back in time and tell 16-year-old Christian that this is what I'd be doing, I would have laughed right in my face because I wouldn't have believed it. But that's the beauty in it, too, is like you don't expect these things. But when you put that type of stuff out there into the world, I do believe it has to come back in some shape or form.
Yeah.
But not manifestation in a sense. It's more or less just like, you know what? I'm just going to
do the work.
I'm
doing the work.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it from an honest place. I'm not chasing it, but now it's showing up.
Have fun doing it.
Right.
And if someone, the right person is watching and wants to do something because of it, cool.
And that's the other part of it.
That's my philosophy with Anderson Harbor. I'm like, I'm still fucking hyped to do that show, even though because of my move, it pushed the timeline. But I know that people are going to be receptive of that.
Totally.
So it's just a matter of like, you know what?
And it's also a matter of, and you and I did a solo show about this in Cape 188, I think.
We did a couple, just the two of us.
Well, we did that. Well, I cried because you started crying, even though that's in the vault. You fuckers aren't going to get to see that. But like he started breaking down. I'm like, oh, shit, he's really moved. Like, what do I do? It was panic crying. I wasn't crying because I was upset. Anyway, way too macho for that. I'm kidding.
Yeah, no.
Definitely.
Yeah. But anyway, one of these days I'll put that clip out, but not for your birthday. Which was last week, by the way. like, gotcha, bitch. Anyway, so you can't get serious for too long. We just can't do it. We can't do it. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't do it. But anyway.
But just keep going.
It's one of those things where, like, this also came along at the right time because we were ready for it collectively. And even though this is very much, like, my thing, like, I'm very much the driving force behind Cape and pretty much every way. But the idea that like as a group, we're just like, we're ready for this. We're ready for a studio. We're ready to have people come in. And even just to be on camera, which is a thing like I told them, you know, when I started doing the show in 2015, doing it on camera. That's why I kind of didn't want to keep doing it after Skid Row Studios closed, because I'm like, I got so used to the camera being a part of the show that I kind of don't want to go back to just doing a podcast at home. It's just not as much fun. So now and as these guys know, like once you have the camera as a tool and you have the reference point of video clips or video episodes, just like, no, that is needed. Like, that's an element that we didn't think about. I mean, it's a dynamic when you're just sitting in a room looking at each other, but there is another dimension to it when you add in the camera and everything. Which is great.
Just to further prove that point, it was a joke I made when I walked in, but it's one of my favorite Cape trailers, and it wouldn't have been funny if it wasn't on video.
Totally.
It's me, you, Andrew, our show, and he's like, you know, it's just me, you, and Christian. We're probably going to end up talking about porn. and then I just dip out.
You just clip. Yeah, you left the Zoom.
But both of your reactions to that is one of my favorites.
Yes.
Like, it's so fucking funny.
Moments like that. Which, that just...
And it wouldn't have been funny if it was just audio.
Yeah. And it was perfect. Exactly. It was perfect.
It still
it definitely steps
laugh.
Everything up.
Yes,
yeah, right?
It does.
Because it's a visual gag.
It totally is a visual. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why the one thing we didn't get, because when Jack first impersonated you back in October, actually, and you literally like shut everything off. Like you shut off the lights. You turned off the camera, the board, everything, shut the lights off in the studio and walked out, left us sitting there in the dark. Like he committed to the bit so much that it was it's something.
And even after the show,
have.
He gets out of his car and he goes into his trunk and gets out a belt and chases Jack.
Yes, which Jack told his version of on the holiday show, Cape 196, by the way, if you want to go back.
What
he
a
snaps
Christmas
his belt
time.
And I'm like,
oh, it was. Yeah, what a Christmas show. Because not only did
I was a little afraid. I was like, I didn't even do the impression.
Yeah,
like,
you weren't even
in.
that's the funny part is because most people look at me and they're like, oh, that's a big motherfucker that could probably hurt me. But then I opened my mouth.
Not only you didn't say a word, though. That was the thing. You were like silent but deadly in a different way. You popped open the trunk and pulled out a belt and started like a fucking whip, like Indiana Jones.
He literally he looked terrible.
He had flashbacks of something.
He's like, I'm
going to
die
today.
Like Jack definitely shit his pants.
He was
like,
oh,
those pants are in the garbage outside Bellworks.
We're in trouble.
Hope that impression was worth it, Jack.
Your wildly insensitive impression of Christian.
So that's why I haven't seen him in this since then.
He's in hiding.
He's still scared of you.
Yeah,
he's still scared.
He's in witness protection. That's what it is.
So if I show up on his doorstep, he will then shit his pants again.
I mean, probably. I'd hope so.
No, Jack, come
which again,
back. I was
we'll need a camera.
I was just kidding.
Show up with a belt that has spikes in it this time.
Oh, God.
Please do. Like, or just bring Lucille. Just take it off the wall and just show up with that.
Let's be honest. Commitment to the bit is always fucking hilarious.
And that's exactly
like,
it.
And that's
like
just,
you have
that's
to.
Not even from me. That's anytime. Anytime you commit to a bit like that, you got to go in.
Right.
Because if you go half-ass with it, it ain't going to work. It
totally.
Never fucking works. So
I feel like you need a YouTube channel for like little bits, and it's just called Commit to the Bit.
Ooh, hello.
I feel like that's the title.
Commit to the Bit. That's
at least got to be a series.
Yep.
That's at least got to be
gotta
a series.
You
got to
make a playlist.
The first Cape spinoff.
Yeah.
Stick to the bit.
Commit to the bit.
Commit to the bit.
Commit to the bit.
With Ryan and Christian.
Oh, man. And here's the thing. It's just us talking about Ghostbusters. That's the bit.
That's the bit. I don't know what you thought this was going
to
be.
I mean, Ryan is committed to Ghostbusters, so.
I'm very, very committed
to
Ghostbusters.
It's not a lie.
I'm also very committed to Ghostbusters and the new TV show that is coming out.
I love Ghostbusters so much. Yeah. It's my favorite property ever.
Pretty much.
It is.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway. Yes, you guys are way important. I love the fact that you showed up for the show and continue to want to be involved. I mean, I don't remember if I mentioned this on an episode at any point, but there was a point where when we came to a shared universe in September of 2022, you were there for Jack. Well, this has been talked about, but just the kind of demo episode, so to speak, which was always going to be used, that Jack and I did, that you kind of jumped into midway through, and it became a three-piece show because you're just like, you guys are speaking my language. Like I needed to, I hope you don't mind, because you're so used to, there's so many shows where you're just engineer.
Yeah.
And that's what you're there for. They don't want you to be a part of it or anything. But after you jumped in with Jack and I was just like, dude, you got carte blanche. Like, do it.
One of the best things that's happened to the show, to be honest.
Well, is that when you jumped in. You and Chris, or even Mike and Ming, when they were substitute engineering before we met you, when the four of us showed up, or rather before, I should say, Ryan and Andrew met you. It was just the fact that they would jump in. I'm like, no, that's fine. Please join the chaos. That's the idea. Just embrace the chaos that is Cape.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but it's a wonderful, relatable chaos. Like
it is.
Like your friend group reminds me of my friend group. Like
and friend groups all around the world.
Yeah.
That's why you should subscribe and tell a friend.
Like
tell 10 friends.
And have them tell 10 friends.
And
they tell 10 friends. And so on. And so on.
And then. Fund our space opera episode.
Yes,
please.
Space opera and Ghostbuster down. Let's talk,
give
Jason Reitman.
All the money.
All the money.
All the money.
All the money. Call us, Sony.
And we won't
Do
just
we
spend
want
it on tacos.
Done by Sony? I don't know.
I mean, that's who Ghost Corp has to.
No, I mean, not for Ghostbusters. For your.
I don't care.
You don't
anybody.
Care?
Whoever wants to fund our shit, I don't care. I'm like, I come cheap. I'm nobody. I'm an internet nobody. So please, just throw
Disney?
Money at me.
You want Disney to buy this?
We're all going to end up working for Disney.
Yeah.
More on that in the next episode. But. Anyway, so Christian, the first time, actually Andrew wasn't there. Andrew called out sick in that episode, but it was myself and Ryan and Jack, and you were the de facto fourth person. Samoa and Andrew was actually the joke I made at the time. And
hey, man, don't worry.
Which isn't unfair. You're invited to the barbecue. That's not a knock at all.
You're invited to the barbecue, man. It's all good.
But we finished up, and Ming was in the studio because they were doing, I believe they're doing Point Blank maybe in the other room, and we were there. But Ming comes in afterwards, and you were like, these guys are fucking great. Every time they're booked in, I want to be on that show. Like, I want to be here for their show, like, anytime they're here. And that was kind of the commitment you made, and you're still here. But now you become integral to the show. Like, all of you guys have, like, no matter who's here, it's become such a huge part of it. And I just love that that's how it is. And just the range of the show. I love the group shows like this. I love doing the interviews. You know, I still like doing one-on-one interviews. And, of course, those are coming soon. And one of the surprising things I got feedback on based on everything we talked about, the group dynamic, the video element. But I got a really, really great response from the two episodes I did solo last year when I did my kind of tribute to Vintage Vinyl, my favorite record store, when they closed last summer. And then the episode I did the week I turned 40, the week of my 40th birthday. I got a lot of great feedback from those episodes of just me talking, you know, no shtick and you know, no putting on any kind of voices or anything like that. More kind of like how I'm talking now when I actually calm down and turn the game show host off and actually get a little real. No, people actually enjoyed that, just having me kind of talk to them almost. Like, that was the thing people liked. Just like, no, you're not there kind of playing to the group. It's like you're talking to me. People actually really responded to that. And I always looked at that as kind of not a filler episode, but I try not to do episodes just solo because I did a bunch of that, particularly in the early days of Cape, where I was just like, yeah, but I kind of want to talk to other people. Like, it's more fun when you have someone to bounce off of. But people actually enjoy that too. So all those elements are going to be there in the 30, 32 episodes of Cape you're going to get this year, every Monday from here on out. And a lot of the people who were here last year are going to be back.
30, 32. And I'm flattered. You got to make it 37. You know.
I would, but there's not 37 Mondays left in the year. I wish. But I'm saying 30, 32, because it could be the occasional week. You know, there's stuff we're sitting on that's in the vault that I could release if there's going to be a Monday that's going to be missed, because it could happen. Listen,
your
life
vault
does get
rivals
in the way.
The Disney vault. Dude.
My vault's the vault's pretty impressive. I was telling them that before we started, actually, that just like you told me to back it up in the cloud because you're like, you can't lose it. You can't lose all that stuff.
And some of the stuff in the vault is even funnier than the shows themselves. Like, even with the only podcasts.
Oh, there's
so much of it was just better than...
I found one folder with six hours.
The official episodes.
6 hours of unreleased audio. Stuff I clipped that didn't get released.
The fucking mania.
That I found. I'm like, we need to use this. Yeah. So this has been, again, this has been a dynamic for a long time. And one of these days soon, it's definitely going to happen this year. But I wanted to do it as a Patreon exclusive. And there'll probably be an abridged version that goes out in the main subscription feed. But we are going to sit down. We're going to do like 5 hours one day. And we're going to do the history of The Only Podcast That Matters and Chris Sabala's Podcast Experiment, because they overlap so much it'd be impossible to talk about one without talking about the other, because there is so much overlap. Mm. And now that we're kind of arm's length away from the old show and we've just evolved as adults, as weird as it is to admit that, that there's actually – we could talk about it in a more honest way. That we've all had therapy. Some of us have been put on medication. So there's a whole lot that we can actually kind of talk about in an honest way and kind of put in perspective as far as the history of this.
Yeah.
Because there isn't Cape without that and vice versa. There's no group without, you know.
Understood.
There's a whole lot in there. But anyway, well, we've covered a lot of ground. Nothing I planned on covering, but that'll happen next week because that's the nature of the show. We just – We pull a thread and
yep.
until we end up to a sludge con. Dude, you don't need to apologize.
Gets derailed.
This is what we do.
No, it wasn't even you. He derailed himself like a whole bunch of times.
Ah, bullshit.
The show. It's true.
But that is the charm of the show.
Yeah.
Is that it's not like there's no agenda, which is one of the things people love. There's like, it's just real talk. It's just friends hanging out and bullshitting, which is how we started.
Or your inability to rein yourself in.
I need to be reined in. It's our enjoyment.
That's hysterical.
It's our enjoyment of watching the derailment.
And then there was this other time where this happened.
That was before we even started, no less.
Yeah.
By us watching the derailment, we then cause another derailment and we watch that derailment. And then we're like, oh, wait, the first derailment.
All right.
Oh, wait, there was
a started talking
there.
About like what to expect from the show this year. Yeah. And end on that note. Kind of, sort of.
Was there ever a train?
Was there ever a train?
There was a train.
Welcome to the scary door.
Yeah. But someone kept switching the track. I don't know who we are. Are we even here?
That was me.
But anyway, so a lot to expect. More of the same to expect, but also just more of it. You know, there's a TikTok account, there's reels, there's shorter clips. Still going to be clips on the YouTube channel. K-Pod, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You can click on the link tree which is the link in the bio. I shouldn't have to say this, but the link's in my bio. And it'll take you to everything, or just search Chris Abala's Podcast Experiment on YouTube. The links are chrisabala.com. If for some reason you feel compelled to go there, feel free. But yeah, follow the show on social media at KPod. Check it out on YouTube as well. Lots of clips. The expanded best of, as I like to say. Like, if you enjoyed the best of episodes, if that's where you came in, some of those clips and so many more are on the YouTube channel because we have the video element, and it's come in really, really handy because it's been a lot of funny stuff that has happened on camera. And, yeah, you can also follow Christian Cordes at ArcadePlayer1 on Twitter and Christian Cordes on Instagram. You can follow Ryan on Instagram at Honey, I Drunk the Beers. And he actually is also – he doesn't really post on his personal Instagram. But if you want to follow him on Instagram and Twitter, it's Texonian. Like Smithsonian, but not quite.
Right.
You can follow Andrew on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Metal_Drew. And, of course, you can follow me at Chris Abalo on Twitter, Chris Sells Out on Instagram. And more nonsense next week. So thank you for subscribing, following, sharing, all that good stuff. Please subscribe if you haven't already. I mean, for God's sake, if you made it to the end of this episode, you certainly are interested in what we have to say. Click the subscribe already. Give this show a thumbs up, a 5-star review, a follow, whatever. Give us all of it. How about that? And then tell a friend. And then tell 9 more friends. And then that's how this thing grows.
And then 8 more friends. Because there's always that one fucking drop off.
Yeah, exactly.
It's impressive if you got to the end of this today. It really is.
But it's entertaining as shit. And that's the point.
For sure.
That's what we're here for.
For sure.
And we'll be back next Monday to do it all over again. So until next time, for Christian, Ryan, and Andrew, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another Experiment.